Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Wake up!
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
We've stressed it all year and all offseason. What we did last year was really good, but it means nothing. We're 0-0. One of the coaches, I heard him talking to a couple players yesterday, talking about reclimbing the mountain. We don't get to start up here. We're starting at the bottom. Everything we did, all the success we had, it doesn't mean anything. Everybody's 0-0. Everybody's at the start line. And we have to reestablish the things that we did well last year, because people have tape. They're going to watch how we did. Some of the things that we did offensively, we put up some really good numbers. Don't think that teams have not studied that and are going to have game plans to stop that. And then what can we do better? What are the things that we struggled with that maybe didn't help us get over the hump in that AFC Championship game or an earlier game that season?
It's pushing them and driving them. Personally, me, that's how I feel. And I know that there's, you know, when the time comes, 53 or 55 guys on the roster, whatever that number is, that have that same feeling, that same mentality of, you know, we didn't do enough to get the job done last year. So let's find a way to be better this year and to go attack it that way.
Every year is different. I try not to think too much about last year, just because it's a new year. You know, everybody's starting from ground zero. They got a lot to learn from. With people who watched us play last year, got a lot to watch as far as like finding new ways to stop us and doing different things. I mean, I trust that my coaches, my quarterback, and everybody involved, we're equally working as hard to try to create new ways to make things happen. And we got excellent pieces on offense. You know, as far as like running the ball, we didn't run the ball extremely well last year. That's something I look forward to this year. I know Motor is definitely looking forward to it, and Zach Moss. So it's a learning curve. I try not to think too much about last year. It was a great year, didn't end well, and I'm trying to keep it going. So we'll see this year. Things might be different.
One of the hardest things to do is to sustain success. I've been around it. I've seen it. You see it not only from the teams that I've been a part of and I've learned from it, but other teams. That's the way the NFL is built, is for parity. And one year a team's up, next year they're down. So that's been a message since really a month after the season, after I gave the players some time just to not hear my voice, but the staff included. You've got to have enough self-awareness to manage yourself. And if getting noticed was the goal, then maybe we accomplished that. But if winning and the goals that we had set up, we know we didn't accomplish last year. And so this is a new season. This is a new team, as I've said countless times. And we've got to respect the process and remain humble and hungry, because if you don't, this league gets on you fast.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
I'm always humble and hungry. Well, the hungry part anyway.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty humble, actually. I'd say I'm pretty humble and hungry. And yeah, by staying hungry, my growth process goes on every day, you know. So I hit all the check marks.
I like it.
How you doing?
I'm good. I was off yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about pulling away and big things happen on your ledger. Wow. Yeah.
I was afraid there was going to be an Eichel trade. I was counting down the minutes to the end of the show as I was listening, hoping there not to be an Eichel trade until at least today's show.
That's funny.
Because I didn't want that on my clock, and I also wanted to, you know, be able to react to it as opposed to just, like, feeling like I was home, not on the show, and not being able to say anything about it.
But yeah.
The soap opera continues.
Yes, it does.
And then
in a really quiet, soft market, apparently, for him.
And then I realized, yeah, don't even get me started. I can't.
Why? We got 4 hours.
Yeah.
What else are we going to talk about? The Mets won.
What percentage of the NHL is run by
crazy people?
I was going to say fools. That's too mean.
That is a little mean to start the show.
Idiots is too mean to start the...
Not the brightest people in the world?
Well, I'll just say what I... Again, let me preface this. I don't know anything about this sport, hockey. I don't know anything about it. And I say that because I feel like the people that run it don't know anything about it either.
Mm.
The Seth Jones contract, the Ristolainen trade.
Yeah.
There are lots of contracts where it's just like Edmonton, Cody Ceci for however many. and Jack Eichel, like the Rangers, Larry Brooks' new offer from the Rangers was two guys that had combined 10 goals last year.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
I should have saved
it. I think they might be available. You got to worry about what it would do to their depth.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it was. I was going to say, there was something I read. I can't remember if it was him. There's another Rangers. Well, I follow a few Rangers reporters now, and I can't remember which one it was. But somebody wrote something about potentially trading for Eichel and made it sound like they would be giving up too much for a third-line winger. And I just thought, you're kidding me, right? I know he's got a bad neck right now, but you're making it sound like you're not trading for one of the best centers, one of the top 10? Centers in the league? It's a little bit sad. Not that I want Eichel traded. I don't. I'd be very happy if he's still here. But it's a little bit sad that this is going on and that you weren't here yesterday for the supposed Buffalo-ask of Vegas. And we're Brayton and I are sitting here going, boy, if that's what the Sabres were asking for, how did Vegas not say yes?
Right, in five seconds.
I mean, it's nowhere near enough for Eichel. And then to see like this whole Rangers stuff. Well, you know, it's almost like Rangers fans and media are going, how good is Eichel? Is he really that good? I mean, it's like they're trading for a third line winger. It's just, it's mind boggling.
Right. And hopefully Kevin Adams and the Sabres don't fall for that. And I'm sure, in fact, I know because I see a couple texts and tweets, people around here are falling for that. Maybe he's not that good. Yeah. Yeah, maybe not.
Right. Right.
Okay.
Like what has Eichel actually done in his first 6 years in the league? He was top 10 in MVP voting on the worst team in hockey 2 years ago. What has he done?
Right. Let's find out. Meanwhile, Linus Ullmark, like, how good is he? He's about pretty good to average. He's an average goaltender. The Boston Bruins sent him to a 4-year contract.
And there was a report that he was trying to get 6 for $36 out of the Sabres. Thank God they didn't do that.
Well, right. There's the being bad. The Sabres are probably going to have to pay the bad team tax for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. You know, I'm not angry because, I mean, I really wasn't expecting much. I didn't really think these guys were going to re-sign. Not worried about Carter Hutton leaving, obviously. I didn't think McCabe.
Well, you should be worried about that because that's Arizona, you know.
Oh, that's right. They're in competition for last.
Yeah, apparently.
So I really didn't have any I figured, you know, if I'm Ullmark or McCabe, why the hell would I want to stay here? Why would anybody want to be here right now if you're a free agent? So
right,
I
and that's just to interrupt this.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a point we make a lot because Eichel gets all the headlines as wanting out,
mm-hmm.
while everybody wants out.
Of course they do.
Everybody does, and you know, like it's not Kevin Adams' fault. You know, I was thinking about this yesterday as a comparison, and it's not the best comparison because, you know, every situation is going to be different. But you know what this actually kind of feels like for the Sabres right now? It feels like you're an NCAA team that had a giant scandal and you don't get scholarships anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody transfers because they can, and you're just left to be on probation and to deal with no scholarships for 5 years.
And you get and you're playing with walk-ons, basically.
Right, right. Yeah. And, oh, by the way, this scandal, you didn't even win to do it. You were bad, and you were found out. And the NCAA came in and dropped the hammer on you, so no scholarships for 5 years, no anything, no bowl games. Granted, you haven't been to a bowl game in 10 years,
mm-hmm.
but it really does because Kevin Adams kind of walks in. I mean, yes, he was here last year, but let's be honest. Most of the damage had been done, 98% of it had been done before Kevin Adams, and he probably only, tried to make Ralph Krueger happy and get have his coach do a good job. He did his best to do that, so when I say this, like Karmanos and Kevin Adams and Sam Ventura, they're the guys that walk in with the place on fire.
Mm-hmm. And it almost looks like, as I said, I wasn't angry at the way the day was playing out. I expected guys to leave. We went into this thinking, okay, they're going to trade Reinhart, and I think they're going to trade Eichel, and they're probably going to trade Ristolainen. And they've done two of those three, and I still think Eichel will be traded. So I'm expecting those guys to leave. And as I said, if I'm McCabe or Ullmark or anybody those are the two free agents of note, why the heck would I want to be here? Ullmark's going to taste playoffs next season. Could be the starting goalie for a playoff team next season. McCabe, I don't know what the heck Chicago's doing, but McCabe, I guess, apparently his wife's from there. He's been thinking about for years, right, supposedly,
mm-hmm.
to play in Chicago. So this is what he wanted. Good for him. Fine. I like
McCabe. He wants to be there.
Yeah, right. Good for So the day plays out. It's not like I'm angry that, oh my God, I can't believe they didn't re-sign Ullmark or McCabe. But then the day starts playing out. And you go, whatever the exact order was, Vinny Hinostroza, Will Butcher's funny because, of course, that's the guy, right? Was it Murray, right, who wanted to get Will Butcher? And then Sabre fans decided to boo Will Butcher every time he was in the arena.
Drake Kajula is on the
team. Oh, I forgot. And Kajula is
and
had
VZ
re-signed.
They traded for, of course.
VZ's still on the market, by the way.
Oh, Jimmy VZ.
I believe I saw his. He's a free agent. He's on the market.
I think
right?
Murray originally wanted to, but then Jason Bottrell took over and he kind of carried it over as well.
The best joke I saw was that at this rate, the Sabres goalie is going to be Cal Peterson. Right? All the guys
that
decided to go somewhere else.
Well, that's part of the fun that yesterday, Jeremy. The goalie market. I'm watching all these guys sign, and at some point last night, I don't know what time it would have been, I go to SpotTrack's site and go free agent goaltenders. And I'm not looking at all the guys that have signed. I'm looking at what's left. And, you know, of course, Craig Anderson, Aaron Dell. I think Dubnyk had not signed, right? He was probably the biggest name left. In terms of UFA goalies. And Anders Nielsen, anybody? And I'm sitting, Corey Schneider, like, what the hell are they going to do in goal? I mean, it got laughable. And then Pesek, then they released the fact that Pesek's back, and I am just like, I am LOLing because of everything that happened when he was traded, why he was traded, who he was traded for, how that turned out, how we all looked at it and thought, hey, I think Pesek's good. I mean, might as well play him. He's a good offensive defenseman. Nope, let's move on from him. I mean, the whole day, and to me, it didn't have the feel that they're tanking. Like, this is not Major League where we're going to be bad, so nobody shows up and an attendance clause kicks in and we can move to Miami. But it looks like the owner said to the GM, look, we're not going to be good. We're just going to play the young guys. We're going to stink for a year, maybe two. Let's keep payroll really low while we're doing this. Why would I waste money paying guys? So let's throw out a whole bunch of one-year contracts for the veteran minimum, maybe a little bit above. We'll fill some holes. These guys will be here for 1 year. They'll basically be keeping spots warm for other guys when we're going to be better. And, there you go. That's what yesterday was for the Sabres. Let's just grab some bodies of guys who apparently want to be here at a very cheap price and throw them in there and let the young guys play. And, you know, there you go. It's just, it's, and I said, I'm not angry because I was expecting them to be the worst team in the National Hockey League when you're trading the players they're trading or will trade away.
They need to spend about $30 million.
Are they to get to the floor?
Floor.
Yeah, see,
right,
that's
now,
the other thing.
They're projected at 51. But subtract Jack's 10.
That's 41.
41, and you got to get to 71.
The floor is 71?
Isn't it? I thought I saw the floor.
I didn't
was
check.
71.
No, it can't be that high. It's got to be a little bit lower, no. I would think.
Hold on here.
Because the cap's 83? 80?
Well, hold on. The floor and the ceiling have never been that far apart. The floor goes up all the time, and with the flat cap, I think that was only on the top end.
Okay. I thought everything was flat.
The Sabres are $8 million away, $8.716 million from the floor.
But if you trade Jack, you're $18 million away from the floor.
So the floor is 59?
That's what I'm seeing here,
yes. Is that
right?
All right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's let's hand out cheap one-year deals, and let's just not waste any money on payroll. It's funny.
Oh, okay. The midpoint is 71. The lower limit is 60.2. They got to get to 60 million. All right. Then there's no issue. Every year, one of these questions about the floor, I was operating on 71, but I must have misread and seen that was the midpoint, not the lower
limit.
But
if they trade Eichel, they're $10 million more away from the floor.
They'll get there.
Yeah.
Getting to 60s. Mittelstadt, Asplund, and Dahlin and Joakim Haar, you all need new contracts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy. I thought they had to get to 71. So they'll get there. I mean, Aaron Dell and Craig Anderson, while you were sleeping, maybe, depending on what time you go to bed, they signed a pair of goalies.
Yeah. 40-year-old guy who's been in the league 18 years and a guy who had, what, one season of 30 starts in San Jose recently?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's a –
Does it matter, really? I mean,
no,
it doesn't matter. They're going to be bad. I mean, we, you know, what – What happened yesterday that would make you think any differently?
Right. So a couple questions. Like, can I just ask a few questions? I'm just asking questions.
Is the first one when's the Bills opener?
No, the first one is, okay, so losing makes players upset. They get mad about it. Is that not going to happen this year? They will not be upset by losing.
That's a good question.
They will not be bothered by it because it's a growth year. Guys like Casey Mittelstadt and Dylan Cousins playing against the best, right? The best the other teams have to offer.
Yeah.
Might not have great numbers, might have really tough assignments, might lose a lot of games,
yeah.
Might get frustrated, right?
Yeah, actually, I was wondering what happened to the whole, we want young guys to be around a winning culture. Well, they're not really going to win much next season.
And I'm not saying this is to pick their plan apart. These are legitimate questions that I have because I've been told that the Sabres losing is why they lose.
Mm-hmm.
And that players like, you know, Eichel, Reinhardt, they've got to go because they're part of losing. Well, these guys are about to be a part of a lot of losing, it would seem.
For 1 year, if not two.
For at least one, if not two. So if they lose all these games, and then next year we get to free agency, that they're going to have a lot of money to spend. They're going to have Owen Power to add. They're going to have maybe a top five pick to add, maybe top two, three. And will players then want to sign free agent deals for the Sabres?
That's what I was wondering. Is that the plan? Because of everything, everybody got a one-year deal yesterday, right? Anderson, Dell, Pethick, Butcher, Hinnestros. I think they're all one-year deals. So, and you guys were just going through cap space. And we all know, like, the plan is certainly not to win next season. So do they anticipate, is it possible they look at it and go, okay, sure, we're going to be the worst team in the league in all likelihood, or the second worst, you know, after next season. But don't worry about it because the next offseason we'll have all this room. We'll have all these expiring contracts. We'll be able to go be a player in the free agent market. Is that what they're anticipating?
Maybe. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe then they can – maybe they're trade pieces for prospects that they get from Eichel, whatever. That's a part of it.
And then the young guys will have had a year of growth.
A year of growth.
Other guys could develop in Rochester or Power at Michigan, and then they'll be ready to be coming in and will supplement the roster with better players.
And I guess their best-case scenario is to do that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's why Don Granato is the right hire because it's easy to like Don Granato.
Mm-hmm.
When they were losing and he talked – it made sense. You know, he didn't do great. Part of me thinks Don Granato deserves better, by the way.
I feel bad for Don Granato.
I definitely
because he finally
feel bad.
Gets his head coaching shot. And, hey, Don, just so you know, we're going to really stink next season. Now, again, it's not necessarily a tank, but they know they're going to be bad. And,
okay.
And I think the moves yesterday reflected that.
Follow-up question. It's
yeah.
not necessarily a tank. What would it look like if it was?
It would look like this, actually. This is exactly what it would look like.
Okay. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again. And people will yell at me and say, yeah, but they're not tanking. And I'll say, I know it's not any different, though.
Well, it would look like this.
It's never any different.
You would trade your best players. You would go with a whole bunch of, whatever, guys coming in.
You would sign
your
goalies
best players don't get you impact return. It's futures.
Right.
You're stockpiling draft picks, assets, capital, cap space. If you were tanking,
this is exactly,
exactly how
like.
You would do it.
Okay, so they're not doing it. They're just doing the exact thing that you would do if you were.
Right.
Okay, like to me, I don't care about the distinction. I wouldn't be mad about it. I understand. I'm going to give you a new term here, okay? You know, we had like the original tank. Then when they got last place and got to Dahlin, or even like last year, Sabres fans like to throw around the term stealth tank. Like, what if it's a stealth tank? We didn't even see it coming, but here they are. They're going to the bottom to get a guy like Dahlin and go from there. This one is like an absentee tank because you don't even have the ability to get players good enough to keep you out of last place.
Right.
How many players that went and signed yesterday, I mean, I guess guys like, you know, Cody Ceci, there's another guy out there, like I was thinking of a random name. There's the dignity tank that the Leafs did. The Sabres is the empty class tank because they just can't get anybody.
Right.
Not only that, it's in a draft class year where none of the guys are expected to come in. So that's kind of like when they drafted Reinhardt. Well, he can't come in and help yet. He's not ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we'll wait another year for this. So the toughest part and the most frustrating part for me is, I mean, I don't know if it's even frustrating, but they might be likable this year. That's another thing I'm seeing.
Yeah, I did see a few tweets suggesting they might be fun to watch. I don't know about that.
Maybe Don Granato wants to play an up-tempo style. Mm-hmm. They give up a lot of goals, and Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell get smoked every night, and they lose 5-3 every night, and we think, like, hey, at least there are goals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that going to be a team that everybody likes? What will make them likable? Will Dylan Cousins fighting make them likable? Because I don't want Dylan Cousins.
No, Dylan Cousins scoring will make them like
right. I want him to develop into a two-way player and a great dynamic offensive player. It's just I worry about You remember one of my – I've got a couple rants that I remember. One of them is 30th. What's it supposed to look like?
Yeah.
And this is a team that's going to trend for that, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And do you think it will look 30. Better? They will lose games 7-0. But it will just be okay because we understand that. I mean, when that rant from losing 7-0 to the Wild, the guy called in and said, I thought it would look better. And I yelled, what did you think it would look like? It's their, it's last place. So, you know, that was the goal. That was the expectation that year, was to go for last place. Here we are. It's not to go for it because the lottery has changed. But, you know, we're kind of laying out that this is exactly what it looked like if you were. So,
sure. Well,
I'm interested to see, like, how they become likable while they lose as much as we expect them to lose.
Well, Jeremy, if there is 2 years to go for it, so to say, it would be these next two drafts. It really would.
Can they survive as a franchise with
two years of this?
I mean, what are the ticket numbers going to do?
Well, I mean, if they don't screw it up. I mean, they did it 2 years in 2014 and 15.
Careful about that. If they don't screw it up,
I know.
We've lived there.
I know. That's the thing.
Yeah. See, that's why I think, to Jeremy's point, what would it look like? I mean, up and down the board, everything they've done, including what when we were in mid tank. For me, one of the most frustrating things was. The goalies are too good. What the hell are you doing? You know, and I'm kind of half kid, but half seriously say, can you get somebody up from the East Coast Hockey League? If you were doing a tank, you wouldn't want your goalies, right, stealing games for you. So let's get Craig Anderson and Aaron Dell.
Well, I mean, again, you know, that might be the best they can get.
Right. But again, but it goes into, if you wanted to be at the bottom, you wouldn't necessarily want a good goalie stealing games for you every now and then with a bad team in front of him.
Well, they were offering Allmark 6 for $36.
Well, he was supposedly asking that.
Okay, gotcha.
Which is crazy if they would have said
Chad
yes.
Chad Dietemanis' reported the Sabres offered him effectively with what the Bruins
correct,
gave.
Right. He said he thought that the Sabres, that Allmark rejected an offer similar, but then I thought he followed up with another tweet about, sounds like Boston might have given him more term than the Sabres were offering.
Another question. I'm full of questions. I'm sure we'll talk plenty of Bills. My next question. Texter writes in, Adams put together a team that will be better than last year without Ristolainen, Eichel, and Reinhart. Cheer up. Okay. Next question.
Yeah. I forgot to answer your previous question. Go ahead.
What was the previous one?
I think I got off on a tangent on goalies, and we were talking about, you know, could they be better? Could it be fun? What would fans expect next season? And all that other stuff because,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course, they could be better. They did finish in dead last. They could also finish in 32nd, which would be worse than 31st. But okay, to the texter's point, a better team. Their defense core does not look terrible. It looks better because Ristolainen is gone. They'll probably add some pieces. Their goaltending is a mess. Their forwards, they're losing their two best forwards. But I digress. If you think they're going to be better than they were last year, which they, again, this is like Jason Bottrell wanting credit for not finishing in last again. Are they only doing all this because Jack wants to leave?
Are they?
Like if Jack,
you mean the whole master plan,
the whole thing?
Oh dear Lord, I'd hope not. No.
Well, if Jack wants to stay, what do? They trade him anyway. And another question. Sorry, I had a lot of time to think yesterday. Did Jack only leave because he was told we're probably going to trade Sam because he wants out?
No, that's a good – did Jack leave because he wanted to leave, or did Jack leave because the vision was, here's what's going to happen the next couple years,
right,
just so you
know. Right, we kind of know what's going to go on. We're going to have to make major changes. We're looking at a rebuild.
I would be more inclined to think, hope, believe that Jack didn't boy, that is a really great question. This is like the chicken or the egg discussion. What came first? Does Eichel sit in his exit meeting and go, I want out? And Reinhart says the same thing? Or does Adam say to those guys, hey, guys, just so you know, here's our plan. We're going to let the young kids play. We're going to, you know, kind of take our lumps the next couple years, but we're going to be really good down the road. And those guys are like, yeah, no, thanks. That's a really good chicken and egg debate. I don't know.
And then, of course, my next question, I'll stop with all the questions. I won't. We got 4 hours. Is, well, if it was always this easy to improve your defense corps, if you can get a first and a second for Ristolainen and decide to keep Reinhart, or instead of trading him for a first and a player, trade him for just another player, to the texter that says the team's already better, then I would ask, well, you know, one thing that might work is, I don't know, trying to get good players, keeping Jack Eichel and seeing how it goes. But they don't want to do that. They tried trading him last year.
Yeah, see, Eichel is supposed to be a reason why people would want to come to Buffalo. You wouldn't necessarily want to trade a guy who would be a reason why the city might be attractive for free agents and
other players.
I shouldn't
say try to trade him. They took calls, discussed that it wasn't the right time, which means, like, you know, honey, you want to break up? You want to get a divorce? It's not the right time.
Yeah, last year was right.
Right, last year.
But apparently
he would have found out.
Is.
He would have known about that. So, you know, there's a lot of questions. It's, again, like a rebuild from the bottom up. I'm going to hear everybody tell me it's not a tank while we watch them make every single move just the same as if it were. If Murray were the GM, what would we say about these moves?
What do you think happened? Give me your thought. We're super. You want to just go blow through the break, or do you want to just continue this discussion in the next segment?
Next segment.
I don't care. All right, because Brayton said we can keep going. You tell me what happened. Do you think Kevin Adams' vision was essentially, I don't want to use tank, but we're turning over the core. We're going to be all about the Cousins and the Mittelstats and the Asplins and the Rutsalainens and Dahlin and Jokic. We're turning this thing over, and tells that to Jack and Sam and Risto, and they do the whole, I don't want to, whatever. Or does Eichel, maybe going back to last season when he hears, really, you guys took calls on trading me? Eichel at some point goes to them, I want out, and then Kevin Adams decides, okay, then you know what, we're just going to strip this thing down.
Right, because there are some that believe that the injury disconnect is just a tool.
Right, that he would have been unhappy before that.
For them to use, and if it is a tool for them to use, well, I mean, he wouldn't be the first person to use an incident as a thing to break up when you want to break up.
Right.
Like, that's how it goes.
So what happened first?
Well, I mean, what happens if Linus Allmark doesn't get hurt and wins more games for Ralph Kruger? Is he still the coach?
Oh, Lord, no.
So
I don't think anything would have saved Kruger. I really don't think. Eventually, I think they would have fired him. There's no way that. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. I think they would have
fired him. How would they have known that he was ruining the team?
He wouldn't have won that many
games. If Eichel's healthy and Allmark's healthy.
Oh, if Eichel's healthy.
Last year's team, in addition to having, last place, they were unbelievably unlucky.
Mm-hmm.
Hall and Eichel and Skinner didn't score at all. They all got great chances. Eichel got hurt, played hurt the whole time he was in the lineup. Then you lose half your team, half your defense core to COVID. You lose Jake McCabe. Like, you lose Linus Allmark, who had a positive record as their starter. The backups went 8-27 or whatever it was.
Actually, when McCabe was playing and he was healthy, Ristolainen didn't look that bad. Then McCabe went down and everything went to, you know.
Right. Like, unbelievably unlucky. So, I mean, a lot of this sounds like, and I try not to sound like this, but I'm always complaining about them. And my answer to the question, once and for all,
is hard not to.
They've been flying by the seat of their pants for 6 years. And right about now, I think they're finally talking about committing to some sort of plan.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing I hope is that they don't approach it like Jason Bottrell did, which is this idea that you can't do anything that would upset the plan. They need to have, you know, you could say a vision. They need good players. They need to get.
Well, their day yesterday backs up what their plan is, right? Didn't Kevin Adams came out before free agency, and what did he say after the draft? We're not going to go out and do things that take away critical time and critical minutes for the young guys. Well, they made a whole bunch of moves yesterday. Nobody's taking away time and minutes from young guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't go out and sign anybody thinking, okay, well, this is going to drop Cousins down in terms of minutes or Mittelstadt down, or this is going to push Asplund or Rutsalainen or Thompson or so. No, yesterday was sticking to their plan, which is we're going to let the young guys play crucial minutes next season, and Granato's going to work those guys through it.
And there'll be no guarantee that any of it works.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's the sport. You got to – what the Sabres really have to do going forward – and maybe Sam Ventura can help with this, and Kevin Adams can be good with this and strike when you need to strike. They need to be better at knowing who the good players are and who the bad players are. And that's the simplest way to say it, because they haven't known that for a long time.
And then they also got to keep the good guys. Now, they did with Eichel, but they didn't do it with Reinhardt long term. They never committed beyond what? What's the longest deal he ever got? 2 years?
I think so.
So
he was just 3-year entry level contract.
I meant after the obvious, you have to.
He
have
never
an
got
entry
longer
level
than
contract.
His entry level deal.
They're as an organization, they decided to never go and commit to more than 2 years to their second best forward.
Yeah, and they just did the same thing with Allmark, by the way. Draft, develop, it's important. Okay, here 1 year, 1 year, 2 years gone, free agency.
Mm-hmm. So you have to identify the good players, but then you also have to try and keep the good players. And not let some of the other contracts either prevent you or whatever the reasoning was that they decided never to commit long-term to Sam Reinhart, who's probably going to get a long-term deal from Florida any day now.
It'll be interesting to watch play out. I'm going to make a vow. Two straight years of no Sabres rants.
Oh, what are you going to rant about?
There'll be no rants this year.
How could you be angry about this team? Well, I mean, zero expectations, I don't think you can rant.
I accept their challenge. No, but we'll see how it goes. Yeah. I hope it works. I really do. I hope everything works out for everybody because I want to watch good hockey.
Yeah, I think somebody tweeted me yesterday. I don't have it in front of me, but it was amidst, you know, the the signings and everything that's coming down. It was, you know, so what exactly, why are we going to watch this team next season? I mean, what's in it for us? Just to watch the young guys play and get better? And I said, yeah, that's pretty much it at this point. You know, you're going to, they're not going to be good. They're not going to win that many games, but you're going to hope inside that Granato's the right coach and that you see Cousins and, well, all these guys, you see all these young guys develop right before our eyes and become better hockey players and form the next core group of the Buffalo Sabres and lead to a much better franchise and a positive direction and all that other stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty much next season's just watch. I'm just here to watch the young guys develop. I got to get a new T-shirt ready. All right, so
we went late, but Brayton told us to.
Yeah, he signed off on it. He gave me permission to keep going.
Well, you guys are having a good conversation. Why stop the conversation from going?
That's my argument all the time when we go late to the break. See?
Okay, now you just got to get to the break now. Go.
803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Now that you had a chance to absorb all of the happenings, Sabre fans yesterday, guys going out, guys coming in, what are your thoughts? And we will get to football since the Bills were on the practice field yesterday. So we'll get caught up on some of that as well on the show today. Sal's going to be with us at 8 and was out at practice yesterday. Paul's going to be with us at 9. Plus, Matt Gould, who is...
Oh, great. We're talking to Matt
today? Matt's coming up at 7:30. Matt is a friend of both of ours, actually, and Matt is working the Olympics for NBC. He is a cameraman, photographer, videographer, whatever. He's working the Olympics, and we're going to talk about life inside the Olympic bubble in Tokyo and everything he's experienced, so we're pretty excited about that. Grab a line. Join us this morning. Happy Thursday, WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.